You're listening to Real Chicks Rock Presents Real Discussions, and I'm your host, Michelle Dawes-Burke. Fasten your seatbelts, as it's sure to be an informative discussion and conversation. Keep in mind that we are not perfect, but we're empowered. Enjoy.
I'm super excited to be with you here on a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It is absolutely gorgeous here in Atlanta today. A Friday, not so much. It was rainy. It was cold. We had to pull out the coats again. But today, God saw a favor. It feels like springtime here in Atlanta, so we're super excited today. Listen, I want to welcome all of the new listeners, and thanks for all the existing supporters. Let me just give you a little bit of background about what Real Chicks Rock is all about. It's all about creatively collaborating to connect and raise awareness regarding issues that impact women. And we do it by way of community service engagement, public speaking, mentoring, workshops, and the arts. We've been fortunate to be doing this podcast since April of 2016. I know I'm going to pat myself on the back. Yeah, it's been Thank you so much. We've been doing it for a while. And it's these type of guests that we've had that keeps us going, because we want to empower our listeners. We want to give them an opportunity to tell us what's going on in their neighborhoods, in their communities, in their legislation. It's an opportunity today, and I'm super excited. I'm super excited for my guest today. Today, my guest is Teresa Thomas-Smith, Mayor Teresa Thomas-Smith. How are you?
I am extraordinary, friend. How are you?
I am good. Welcome. Welcome. Today's topic is, we got things to do for Palmetto, Georgia.
Yes, we do.
Don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, we got a lot. We're going to get to it. So Mayor, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I am from Southwest Atlanta.
That's right. I knew that. I just love when people say that.
I am from Adamsville. Yeah, that's really Southwest.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yes.
So that's my home. That's where I was. My grandmother said you raise cattle, not children. So that's where I was reared.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. How was it growing up in that neighborhood? Exciting, fun?
Oh my God. I believe I had the most fun childhood in Adamsville.
Really?
I went to Lenora Precious Miles Elementary School. Shout out to LP Miles.
Yes.
It was a place where the teachers loved the children. Mm. The children loved the teachers. Mm. The principals were great, down to our custodians. You know, it was a lot of love in the community. It was lots of children. Children played outside back then.
Mm-hmm.
So we had lots and lots of friends where we played outside, and we just had that community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it extended to high school. Yeah. I went to Benjamin Elijah Mays House.
Shout out to Mays High School. I know
Most amazing.
I know a lot of good people that went there. Yes.
So it continued into high school. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just growing up again with a sense of community, that's always been a part of my experience.
Mm.
So I love that. And I am grateful for this opportunity to bring a sense of community to a community.
Yeah. As a young person in Adamsville, did you feel people pouring into you? Did you have a sense of what you wanted to be or do at a young age, Mayor?
I don't know that I ever had a sense of what I wanted to be or do, because I have always been kind of a free spirit.
Okay, I feel that right now.
So there you go. So I never just tied down to one thing, and I have been able to build a beautiful human experience by doing a lot of things, because I always just do things I love.
Okay.
And when I don't love them anymore, I don't do them.
You stop.
Yeah, I stop doing them.
Okay.
So, but there were always those pillars in the community, you know, the neighbors who loved you, who saw you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, the teachers, again, who saw you.
Yes.
Because there are those that, you know, lump all the children together.
Right.
And then there are those that see the children that need to be seen.
There you go.
So, and it's amazing that, you know, one of my favorite teachers actually lives in my community. Until they redrew the line, she actually lived in Palmetto.
Oh.
And I remember in sixth grade, she was our sixth grade teacher. And I just remember she said she lived in Palmetto, and to us, that was out of town.
Yeah.
That was completely out of town. Your brain couldn't wrap around it.
Yes.
And now to not only live there, but to be the the mayor and CEO of that city is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Just to say that I'm the mayor and CEO is mind-blowing.
I know. Yes. We're going to get to that part. So Adamsville, people, the teachers, the neighborhood, the community, you're just loving Atlanta at this time.
Yeah.
You went to Mays High School. A lot of great people went there.
Yes,
I think the current mayor of Atlanta went to Mays.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we grew up in the same subdivision Adamsville.
You see what I'm talking about?
Ridgecrest Forest in Adamsville.
You see? I think some great people came out of there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So with all this going on in Atlanta, how did you end up in Palmetto? How did you get there?
You know, I can tell you some stories about how I believe I got there.
Okay.
But I believe more than anything, that's about the time I started really hearing the voice that now guides my life.
I hear you. Okay.
So it was more of a following without knowing what I was following and a knowing that it was the right thing to do without knowing what that was going to look like or be.
Right.
So that's the real reason.
Okay.
I'm in Palmetto.
Okay.
Because it wasn't just me. My whole family uprooted the whole family.
Yeah.
We had a daughter at that time that was going to high school.
Where was she going?
She was coming out of the Atlanta public school system and going to Northgate High School in Coweta County.
Well, she didn't like it at that point.
No. It was very challenging.
Yes.
So, you know, it wasn't just me. It was literally
the whole family.
Uprooting the family. So this was a trust mama as she trusts God.
Yeah.
That I couldn't articulate that, but I knew it was time to go.
And at the time, Mayor, that you moved, I don't want to say backwards, let's just say further south.
Yeah.
Right? Did you feel any objections in the neighborhood? Did you feel that people didn't want you there? Or was it really starting to gel into a community where all were welcome?
So there's two parts to that.
All right. We'll take both parts.
So Palmetto, the city, which is comprised of two counties. There's Fulton County, and there's a little sliver of Coweta County.
Yes. Okay.
So Palmetto, the city, yes, very warm, very family city.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Very family city. I'm going to leave it there.
There's some
very family city, very embracing, you know, just real old school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then I also live in Coweta County.
Okay.
Coweta County, not exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. At that time. Yes.
20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because this year, literally last week, was our 20th year being in the city.
Yes.
We moved February the 27th, 2004.
Wow.
And we have been there now 20 years. So, yes, we made friends in the community.
Gotcha.
You know, just meeting people because I am a friendly person.
I talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm. So just meeting people. Made friends in the community. But again, on the Coweta County side, it was not the same experience to the point where when we moved, I worked for an organization that was led by a self-proclaimed Dixiecrat.
Dixiecrat. Okay. All right. Please explain.
That is a person who tends to vote Democratic with the Democratic Party.
Uh-huh.
But still has a Dixie mentality at their core.
Mm.
And he was self-proclaimed.
Wow.
So when I told him where I was moving, his response was, why would you move there? You know they don't want you.
Ah.
Wow. Well, at that point, it was too late. We had already signed the papers.
So
there was no going back. There was nothing.
Guess who's coming to dinner?
It's like, right. It was like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
And there were some times that we were never, can't say never. There were very few overt overtures.
I hear you. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's the South.
Yeah.
So you kind of bake that in, you know, especially when you're from here. It's kind of baked into the experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't don't get caught up on that. And I was feeling a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
You know, when we first moved because I have small children
mm-hmm.
and there had been, I think, maybe one, if not two stories within the first year of us living there that there were black men that were found hung from trees that were suicides. So, you know, that doesn't make you feel very comfortable.
No.
Again, on that side.
Right.
And my community, which is a very nice community, is in both Fulton and Coweta County. So it wasn't in the community again.
Mm-hmm.
It was when you travel outside of the city of Palmetto and now you're in the county, you know,
and this is in the 2000s. This is 1960 something. This is 2000s.
Yeah.
That people were found hanging from a tree.
Yes.
All right.
So, and it was one experience where my car overheated.
Okay.
Thought I'd run down to Noonan and pick up whatever I was going to get. And my car overheated. And it overheated as soon as I got on the freeway. So it wasn't even close enough where I could back up and get off. But when I pulled over, another car pulled over because I got the hood up and steam is everywhere. And another car pulls over. It's an older white gentleman. He gets out and he comes over and he was like, "Baby, you got something to take the top off with?" And all I had was a diaper. My son was probably two years old. So I had a diaper in the back of the car. And I can remember this so clearly. And he comes over and he opens it out and steam just comes out. He's like, "Baby, you bone dry."
Yeah.
And he said, "I just fixed the car, so I don't have anything to put in it." He said, "But we can walk up here and get you something."
Okay.
Well, at this moment, another little beat up pickup truck pulls over.
Right.
And two guys get out. Two white guys, tattooed up, bald heads.
Oh, God.
It is dusk.
Yes.
So it's starting to get dark.
Yeah.
And they're walking towards me and I'm like, "Oh God, I'm going to die." You know, I hadn't even called him to tell him where I was. It was just like, "I'm going to die." And the two guys start walking and then one of them stops. They start talking and one of them goes back to his truck. And I'm like, "Okay, this is it." And he comes back and he's got two jugs with him.
All right.
And he commences to pour. He asked me to crank my truck and he commences to pour into my truck. And when I got out to say thank you, he said, "Don't let nobody tell you nothing bad about those Coweta boys." And I can't say that I had a complete turnaround in my experience, but I had a complete turnaround how I choose to view my experience.
I got you.
No longer going to be on the side of, "Oh my God, it's going to be terrible."
Yeah.
To say, "I'm not going to let anybody tell me anything bad. I'm going to let the experience be what it is."
Mm-hmm.
And it's been good.
And you know, Mayor, because your steps have been ordered.
There you go.
You had this hedge of protection. But it is these experiences, we believe, that helped drove you to be the woman that you are today, right?
Because absolutely.
You see change. And so I want to talk to you. I want to fast forward just a little bit. Now that you're in Palmetto and you're in the city of Palmetto and you're neighborly and you're meeting people and you're starting to feel a sense. Is it at that time you decide to run for city council?
Oh, no.
How did that come about?
Again, it's one of those things. You just know what you know when you know it.
Yeah.
You know, we have been there for 15 or so years, but probably about year 8 or 9.
Okay.
Maybe about year 10.
Okay.
When I was traveling for work, but I would go to council meetings because I just wanted to see what was happening.
I heard that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had never gone to a council meeting anywhere I ever lived ever in my life. So again, that's just a knowing to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And after a few years of popping in here and there, because again, I traveled quite a bit. So just kind of popping in and out, it was just kind of a, what's happening?
I got you.
You know what?
Yeah.
Some of this stuff doesn't make sense. You know, it doesn't sound
right.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I started asking questions.
Mm.
And the then mayor asked, "Ms. Smith, do you hold public office?"
Mm.
And I told him, "Not yet, sir."
You said
that was that night. That was that night.
He said, "Not yet."
Little did I know.
Right.
And in a way, I was just really kind of just being a little smart mouth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But our words have power.
Yeah.
And we give them life when we speak them. So I do believe that that was probably the moment.
Yes.
Without even me knowing it's the moment.
Mm.
Yeah. That was probably the
That was it. And so were you appointed mayor or did you have to run for the seat?
No, I actually ran for city council.
Yes.
I wasn't sure. Again, I kept, you know, I have these conversations with God.
Of course you do.
You know, I was,
of course you
what do. What are we doing? Are you serious? You know this Teresa from Adamsville, right?
Right,
Not the other Teresa. I'm sure it's another one somewhere. But you know this me, right, God? You know.
Yeah.
You know this me.
Yeah, he knows exactly.
And I talked to my husband, and then he was like, "Babe,
yeah,
what you doing?
Yeah, what's going
and
on?"
I'm like, "Babe, I don't know. I got to do it." He's like, "I don't know if we want to do this."
Right, right.
Because it's we. It's a we.
It's a we. It's a we.
And yeah, so I told him I was traveling, actually, and I filled out the papers for both the mayor and for city council.
Oh.
And I had my checks ready for both. And I just waited, and I said, I called to make sure that my husband could do it for me. And they were like, "Sure, you can." And I called him on the day, and I said, "Do it for the city council."
Okay. Okay.
Because I needed to know more than what I knew. I knew what I knew from this side of the dais. Yeah. Now I need to know what I know from the other side. And
most mayors or city council people, usually before they're in there.
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. But it helps, though.
It could.
It could help. Okay.
It could. Not okay. It doesn't. I mean, you know, it's that's not a requirement. Real qualifier. And it's not a real qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, again, just me following my ordained
set. Yeah. Come on now. Come on.
So making sure that I you know, heard correctly.
Yes.
Went for the city council. There were 7 names on the ballot.
Wow. It's a big ballot.
That's a big, because small town, Palmetto is one of the few cities that manages its own elections.
Really?
The county does not manage the elections.
Fulton
the
County
city
doesn't touch it.
Fulton County has nothing to do with our elections. Really. Not on a, yeah. So.
Minimizes corruption.
Well.
I said it, Mayor. You didn't have to say it.
So.
Minimizes. Helps to minimize.
That part. So, there were 3 people running for mayor.
Uh-huh.
3 men,
mm-hmm.
2 black men. I think they were the first 2 black men to run for mayor. And don't quote me on that, but okay. I think they were.
Okay.
And they ran against the incumbent mayor who had been mayor since 1986, with the exception of 4 years.
Wow.
One person serving as the mayor for a very long time.
Long time.
So now you've got a town that is a city that is predominantly black, splitting the black vote between 2 men.
Wow.
So the incumbent mayor won again by 19 votes. There were 7 people on the ballot for city council. We vote for the top 3, mm-hmm. top 3 vote getters. And there were 9 votes that separated me from the incumbent of 8 years, I think.
Wow.
As a newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
As a non-native mm-hmm. of the city,
mm-hmm.
So it was big.
It was huge.
It was big.
That was change right there.
It was change. Well, I came in campaigning.
Mm.
I come from organized labor.
I was going to ask you, did you campaign?
Oh, I campaigned. I loved to campaign.
Boots to the ground.
Boots on the ground. We knocked doors.
Yeah, hand out flyers.
We do all of that.
Yeah.
So we did that. My first, you know, we had literally standing on the corner with our signs.
Yeah.
We knocked on. It was a full campaign.
It was.
But it was a small campaign.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't step outside of what I was comfortable doing.
And Mayor, let me ask you, what was one of the things you wanted to see implemented or change? One of the changes you wanted to see as a city council person?
Transparency.
Just transparency.
And communication.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the council, I didn't know as much as I thought I should know as a council member.
Okay.
We would go to meetings and people would talk about things and all of you from Palmetto are sitting there looking like deer in the headlights because we had no clue what they were talking about.
Wow.
Because our mayor hadn't shared it with us.
Mm.
Again, he was there for a long time. And the council often were people who were really dedicated to him
mm-hmm.
And believed in him or something. I don't know.
Right,
I can't
right,
speak
right.
to why
right,
they were
right,
there.
Right, right.
But yeah, it was... it was time to do something different to get something different.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is.
It still is.
And it always is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get too comfortable in any space, and the city had gotten very comfortable with him there, not necessarily liking it.
Right.
But comfortable.
Yeah. Just used to it.
Just used to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was there for the people from the day I got there.
Okay.
And they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went out and, again, knocked on doors to meet people because I don't just want you to see my signs that were beautiful. I want you. Yeah, they were purple and green. Purple and green is beautiful as a color combination. But
you were talking and meeting the people.
Yeah.
Your constituents.
Just, yeah. You know, greeting. But that's who I am.
Yeah.
It wasn't me being the candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Teresa that just happened to be a candidate.
Just being a human being.
Being a kind human to other humans.
Mm. How was the economy back then when you were city council? Were jobs available in Palmetto, or even realistically, were people able to buy homes and home ownership was the thing then, or what?
So I was elected in November 2019.
Mm.
What happened just a few months later?
COVID! The pandemic! Oh, man.
So my serving
was
kicked
virtual.
Into high gear.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't virtual.
No.
I was out in the community.
Wow.
We were getting supplies. We were, you know, I had a little nice little team of people. Shout out to all of you. I love you. Everybody that donated and made sure that we were able to do things in Palmetto.
Yeah.
We had everything. We served breakfast and lunch every day for 18 months through the pandemic.
Wow.
Literally drive up hot meals prepared already. If you came up and said, I'm feeding 20 people, I need 20 lunches. If you're feeding 3 people, we fed everybody
for 18 months.
It didn't matter if you were a child or an adult. For 18 months, we made sure that people had food boxes. We partnered with organizations and churches, and people were constantly reaching out because I've always been this Teresa.
Yeah.
So all of the relationships I have are transformative, we're real relationships,
gotcha.
Not anything transactional where we're just, you call me, hey, I need this and you come bring it to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was where people were reaching out to me and saying, hey, friend, I saw that you're the city councilwoman now.
Mm-hmm.
How can my company donate some food boxes to your city to make sure that you have people with food in their homes? That went on for the entire pandemic. We couldn't go anywhere, so people were sheltered in their homes, but we did something called Art on the Lot, where we just said, bring the kids to the recreation center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We put tables out on the lot. We
mm-hmm.
planted seeds. We did coloring, did things on the parking lot so we could be outside versus being inside. But I was still trying to bring the community together. Going to check on the senior citizens. Do you need anything?
Mm.
So people got to know me during a pandemic. I wasn't sitting in my home, you know.
You didn't have time to be scared.
No.
You were serving.
No. You elected me. That's what I'm supposed to do. I didn't know what else to do. I thought that's what they elected me
that's
for. I thought that's what they elected all of us for. There's 7 people that sit with there's a mayor and 6 council members. There's 7 of us. So my mind says that's what we were supposed to be doing. But even when we served lunch, you know, it was drive up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so we'd have a line around the building, but I love doing it. So every week at the beginning of the week, I would go and buy fresh flowers and make sure flowers were on the table. I would stage the lunches. So when you saw them, they were beautifully sitting on the table.
So
you know, we had people that worked with us that enjoyed taking them to the car and having conversation with their neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was bringing community back together again to that community that I grew up with, where neighbors knew each other.
Yeah.
And they loved each other and they took care of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of my parents knew all of the people in our community.
Mm. It's a power in serving.
It is. I love it.
It keeps you humble too. And connected.
Yeah. it's the connected part that
I do. Your face is lighting up. Mayor, your face is lit up.
I
you are
love
so
this.
Excited to serve.
You
just
know,
a genuine heart.
I will tell you, every day. I try not to cry. They call me crying mayor because I do. I cry. I tell them it's love and gratitude just pours out of my
eyes. That's what it is.
But every day when I wake up and I get my consciousness back.
Yes.
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here again. I look around, check, make sure he's next to me. Okay.
Right.
I'm here again. And all I can say is, God, thank you for choosing me again. So because you chose me again, I got to go to work again. Just because you chose me. Because I made some commitments and I said I would do some things. And it was a long time ago. And then I got good with it, so I started writing it.
Yeah.
What I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing this. I did this. I'm doing this. I'm doing this. And now I'm doing this.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm doing this.
Being on the city council, mayor, was that a full-time responsibility or you still had a job as
well? No, I still had a job. So, interestingly enough, I started my own business. My job that I loved, laid me off in 2017.
No,
God had been preparing me for it.
Okay.
And kind of nudging me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this job is good. Nope. Not going to leave. It is really, really, really good.
You hear a nope?
Nope. I had the best of all worlds. I had a job that allowed me to travel.
Yeah.
It gave me the ability to see the world.
Yeah.
It gave me the ability to connect with people from all over and fine-tune my coaching and my leadership skills. It gave me all the, my husband could travel with me. We sometimes could take the grandkids.
You was having a ball.
And they paid me really well. I'm not leaving. But in 2017, well, in 2016, they started talking about it. I had been on a 3-month assignment and I kept saying, this ain't what I signed up for. Not to be gone for 3 months at a time.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, I can't do that. Come home for 2 weekends and 3 months. That's not what I signed up for. I don't want to do this. And I kept saying, I don't know what I'll be doing next, but I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was going to mean I had to give up my whole job. I thought it just meant that
position. Part of it, that position.
Yeah, that position. Mm-hmm. But no, God took that job and I started my own business.
Okay.
Coaching, doing leadership development. I did, pretty good.
That's good.
But due to my own, due to my own limiting beliefs.
You got in your own way? I translated that.
Mm.
You said it really nice, but you got in your own way.
Uh-huh. And wouldn't put myself out there.
Yeah. We most of us don't. But go
even
on.
Though people all over the place be asking me, where's your show?
Yeah,
where's
your this?
Where can we see you? When are you doing a retreat? And I'm just like,
no.
I'm going to do it. But that other little voice in my head, that little imposter syndrome that still sometimes shows up, was like, don't do that. So again, it was all OJT for this. Everything in this experience that I have had from childhood as I can remember to today.
Yeah.
Every element of it can be used in this part of my experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm here for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it. So, serving on the council was just Teresa. Now just is Teresa the council member, not councilwoman Teresa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Teresa just happens to be a councilwoman. Even now as the mayor, I never really lead unless I'm in a political space that I'm the mayor.
Yeah.
Most people don't know it till somewhere deep down into the conversation because you've gotten to know me the person first. Because if I tell you I'm anything other than just Teresa, then you're going to put me in a box.
Yeah.
And you're going to treat me a certain way. But if I just show up and I just show up as me, then I get to be me a lot. And then you get to, now I'm Teresa.
Right.
That just happens to be the mayor.
Now that you were a councilwoman for 4 years and now that you're a mayor, have you seen changes? And it's probably an unfair question because you just said it. You got appointed. You became a member and then COVID happened. And so now we're starting to get outside. Now we're outside. Are you sensing more of the neighborhoods or the community or the city thriving more or people wanting to live in Palmetto? I really want to get a sense of the economic landscape because everybody loves Atlanta.
Yes.
I'm not from Atlanta. I'm from New York. But I've been here since 89.
Okay.
So I've seen the swelling of it, right?
Yes.
And I remember when you could buy a home, because my first home was in Noonan. And I remember you could get a home for $110,000. When I talk like this to my son who's 16, he can't believe it because he sees signs for $500,000,
$400,000,
$800,000, $900,000 in the city, $1.1 million.
Yeah.
So he can't put his head around the fact that somebody working a job, if you had a W-2, could get a little starter home.
That's right.
Right? $110,000. Yep. They used to be in the 90.
Yep.
95, yep. 97.5. Then you get 3% down, first-time home buyer assistance, right?
Then you have a little piece of land to go with.
A little piece of land, a little yard to cut, so you run to Home Depot, get a little lawnmower, you hand push. So now, people with jobs, even making six figures, Mayor, can't afford a home. So is Palmetto starting to, are you seeing people coming and buying up land and building homes down there since Atlanta's getting tight?
So, again, we have the same mayor for a long time.
All right, I'm going to look this way.
start with that part. There were some decisions that were made to grow Palmetto in some ways that are, you know, and it wasn't just the mayor. You know, you have all these studies done and people come in and tell you how they think your land should be used.
Okay.
So, and you know, and the count that goes before planning and zoning and council votes on it, all kinds of things.
Yes.
So there's a lot of people involved in it. So Palmetto has a lot of warehouses right now. A lot of, you know, Microsoft is building a data center in Palmetto.
I didn't know that.
Yes, huge, huge, huge data center. The United States Postal Service has put a ginormous warehouse facility
in Palmetto,
a processing facility.
Wow.
In Palmetto. And there's some other entities that have moved down.
Yes.
So we've got that part of the city. And fortunately, that's on the north side of the city.
Okay.
So it's all kind of contained in that general area.
Right.
And then you've got the heart of the city.
Mm-hmm.
So there are townhomes that are being built.
Mm-hmm.
There's some beautiful homes, but I think that subdivision may be sold out now.
Mm-hmm.
But Palmetto has an issue with water and sewer, so where our development is at a place where it's not going to be able to grow as much as we would like it to grow right now.
Okay.
We've got some infrastructure issues we need to deal with. And again, that's one of those things that wasn't shared, hasn't really been shared with the community.
Right.
So now I've inherited it.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're looking for ways to improve upon our existing system, which is almost 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Palmetto has a water system that can treat our water, but as we grow, that system doesn't have the capacity to handle too much more development.
Right.
So we've got to be very, very, very smart with our development. And houses are things that are coming. Like I said, they're building lots of townhouses, but we're kind of having to slow our growth because of that.
Yeah.
Now, can we take care of what we have existing?
Yes.
So we are looking for the businesses that have been closed down for years and years because we do have a downtown that has been dead, isolated.
Yeah. Wow.
Closed down.
Wow.
Ghost town.
Wow.
For years.
Mm.
Years and years.
Mm.
So now we're looking to bring businesses back into downtown, welcoming those businesses into the community so that we're not just traveling outside to get everything we need.
Yeah, you should be able to get it in your own
recreation, everything. Bringing those things back into the city.
Yeah.
For the families that are moving into these townhomes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it a conversation, Mayor, perhaps with the governor of Georgia to help with the infrastructure with the water and sewer problem? Is it with the Corps of Engineers, like people like that can help, you know, ideally see it holistically and can help understand where and how to improve? Is it those type of conversations we need to have?
I believe those conversations could add value.
Okay.
Palmetto, 22 years ago, Palmetto, Fairburn, and Union City entered into a water authority.
Mm-hmm.
Those three cities.
Mm-hmm.
In 22 years, the authority has not produced any water for those three cities. So each city is still responsible for getting its own water.
Mm-hmm.
Union City gets all of its water from the city of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Fairburn gets its water from the city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And the industrial clients on the north side of Palmetto get their water from city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
So I am new to the authority.
I understand.
So I'm learning my way around it.
Yeah.
And that is one of those things I would, you know, I would be encouraged to ask. Yeah. We've actually got a meeting on Tuesday.
Look at that.
So that's one of those meetings.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of engineers and a lot of consultants and a lot of money has been spent,
mm-hmm.
but no water has been produced yet. And again,
yeah.
each city is left to fend for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
How you make up for that shortage in your city, whether,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether for us, it's what our plant can't produce.
Right.
So we do purchase some water from Coweta County.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're left supplementing, even though we're in this water authority
yeah.
together that should have made us self-sufficient.
Exactly.
And able to, you know, do our own thing by now in 22 years, I would think.
Yeah. And let's keep it a buck. Like Georgia, there's Atlanta and there's Georgia.
Yeah.
Atlanta's dead in the middle of Georgia. There's no water.
Absolutely.
Like, and you know, we're grateful for the rain. Cause that helps.
Yeah.
But when our weatherman is telling us, you know, there's times and seasons
yeah.
we can't water our lawn
yeah.
if we don't have the water, if the rain doesn't come. So we are, you know, geographically where we're situated can be a desert. We've been blessed that when it rains, we do get the rainy seasons and mm-hmm. that helps tremendously.
Right.
But if we get a super hot summer.
Yeah.
Or
and the Chattahoochee starts to dry.
Yeah, we all feel that.
So that's one of those things that when we start talking about sustainability
yes.
and conservation,
yes.
those are the things that we're talking about that we're making sure that we, when we develop
yes.
and when we redevelop,
mm-hmm.
that we're bringing those conversations to the table as well. It's important that builders come in.
Yeah.
Again, what happened before me, no
yeah,
control over
we
that.
Can, we can't, yeah, yeah.
But as builders and developers want to come in the city, my question is, how do you add value to this experience?
Exactly.
How do you put back into the community?
Exactly.
Stop just taking.
Yeah.
Because you'll come and you'll make your development and you'll leave. You'll sell it and you're gone.
Listen, that ran me out of Fairburn.
Yeah.
I used to live in Fairburn.
Oh, wow.
I moved out in 2019, December of 2019, because of all of the industrial warehouses
yeah.
that have been built up on the beautiful South Fulton Parkway. And the trees are gone and there's these big, and when I saw them build a warehouse across the street from the elementary, junior high school and high school that we were zoned for, I said, I think, you know,
that's crazy.
It's time to go.
But you know how that happens, because we are not going to, and I can't say we now because I'm not really allowed
Come
to
on,
go.
Tell us,
because
Mayor.
The citizens are not engaged enough to go to these planning and zoning
that
committee meetings and say, I don't want this
in my community. I know. And the thing is, Mayor, when we find out about it, it had already been on the table
years ago.
That's
usually how it happens.
And what I noticed, Mayor, I'm driving and I see a little zoning sign.
Yep.
I can't see that
yep.
when I'm driving.
When you're driving, exactly.
What is that? And
exactly.
they put it out maybe a day or two before the meeting's actually yes. happening.
It's more than a day or two, but again, it's very strategic.
Very, but yeah.
How it's placed. And again, I'm saying this as a mayor, but as a council member, as a city, as a resident,
yeah.
I had took issue with
yes.
that. You know, why
yes.
can't we put a bigger sign? There are some cities that have much
bigger signs.
They can put it on a banner.
Yeah.
We can make it, because sometimes they don't want the people to come
they
out
don't
and say
want
anything.
Us to come.
Right. Yeah.
But
as
a citizen, as a constituent, what should we do? Are these type of zoning meetings on a calendar typically for the city for us to even ask and inquire, or we have to trust these little posters that are going to be outside to tell
So them? As the new mayor of the city of Palmetto.
Come on, Mayor, tell them.
I have asked.
Tell them.
Our city clerk
mm-hmm.
that every public meeting be put on our calendar as soon as we know that meeting
Thank
is
you.
Happening.
Thank you.
Because again, I was not always on this side of the
right,
desk.
Right, right, right.
I wasn't always in this seat.
Right.
I'm sitting on the other side, and I, too, am frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
But then I couldn't be mad at anybody but me for not going to the meetings. Again, that's kind of helped what steer
yeah.
me
yeah.
to know that city yeah. council was where I could put some of this energy
yes.
that I had for this city that I have grown to love so dearly,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that we would stop putting, because we talk about warehouses.
Yes.
But what comes with warehouses?
Big trucks.
Big trucks.
Big trucks.
And they will tear up your road.
They tear up your road.
And these are state highways, mostly.
Yeah. Yes.
These are state highways.
Yep.
So it's not like you really have any jurisdiction over how they get
no.
fixed and repaired
yeah.
and all these different
yeah.
things and how they
yeah.
get structured. And
yeah.
you have, the city has no real jurisdiction over that. These
yeah.
are state highways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're at their mercy.
Yeah.
And that now you're talking about air quality.
That,
to me, that's an air quality
that,
issue now.
And for me as a motorist, just safety. Safety. Because half the time, and this is no dig to drivers, they can't see.
No,
and
they
even
can't.
Last night, just coming in from something, the visibility can hit really poorly with the weather and rain. And they're driving these big 18-wheel rigs, and it's two roads, it's two lanes on South Fulton Parkway, and you can't see. And it's safety, and it is the air, and it's gas, and it's the roads, and it's a lot. And I don't necessarily want to live with that in my neighborhood, not my backyard.
You know what? That's a real thing called NIMBY. Not in my backyard. That's almost a political term. It's called NIMBY.
Yeah,
not in my backyard.
Not in my backyard.
So that's a real thing. But now the question becomes, it's here. What do we do?
I know.
It's here. Again, these are things that happened before.
Yeah, we get
and
away.
And we still got zoned for, you know, people that is zoned for warehousing. That land is sold.
Yeah.
So at any given point, they can still come and add more warehouses to our city.
But why South Fulton Parkway when you had Fulton Industrial? Perfectly named for such a type of environment. It's almost dormant.
Because somebody bought the story.
Okay. All right.
Somebody drank the Kool-Aid. I don't know.
You know? Yeah.
You know, and you know, it. I have to say that in all fairness and in all transparency, the city budgets are generated off of revenue.
Mm.
And that's your most important document outside of your city charter is your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the things we want, and here's the way we're going to pay for it.
Okay.
If you don't do something, then that leaves the citizens having to pay for it, and that's how you get really high taxes.
Okay. Okay.
So in all fairness, something had to be done. So I can't say that, you know, while I can't say that I agree with 18 warehouses or however many, I think we're supposed to end up with like 20 warehouses in 11.8 square miles.
Mouth's open.
I don't know that I would have made the same decisions. Because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And that I wasn't the leader and I don't know what else was happening. And, you know, I do know that our neighbors to the north of us, both Union City and Fairburn, began building warehouses before we did.
Yeah.
And we saw that after they started building warehouses, their downtowns started looking nicer and, you know, things started to look better.
Okay.
So that is a real thing.
Okay.
You know, because it is a lot of revenue.
It is.
It is a lot of revenue. So, and again, if your homeowners and your local businesses are your only tax base, you are not going to survive as a city.
Wow.
You've got to figure out ways to make revenue. So that's how you get cities sometimes with amphitheaters and other things.
Like that Trillis thing going on in Fayetteville down there.
Come on. I love it. Yeah. I love it. So, you know, and that's how you get that. But it depends on, again, who's in your leadership.
Right.
Who are the people that are you're having these conversations with, whether they are developers or whether they are city planners or, you know, people who really can tell you this is what your land is. This is how you keep so much green space. And this is how you do smart development, because it has to be smart development.
Right.
Again, I don't know that I would have gone the full warehouse route. But when you see what your neighbors are doing, and I guess it
just makes sense. Perhaps. Do we see a growth in employment because of the warehouses, or we're not really able to get that data yet?
I don't know I'm sure it exists. Mm. I have not seen any that says that we have, but I do know that there is a lot of revenue that leaves our community going back to where they live. They make the money here because we've got some. I mean, that postal facility is ginormous.
Yes.
There's other entities, and I don't know that I can say their names, but there are other entities, large companies, big companies
down there
that are in our city.
And then they go home.
And then all of their employees go home to their cities.
Mm.
And Palmetto is lacking in really a diverse selection of dining options.
Yes, that's important.
It's very important.
Like food.
I'm a foodie.
I'm a foodie too.
I am a foodie. I am a gluten-free, dairy-free,
vegan-ish,
vegetarian-ish,
that's snobbish, you look good.
All of that.
You look good well, there.
But yeah, so I have to drive outside of my community
to get what you need.
To have a meal. We've got a handful of fast food restaurants. We've got 3 Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
3.
Yeah.
And 2 kind of soul food type restaurants.
And that's not right. That's not right.
We've got a local grocery store that some people can call a convenience store.
Right.
So we really are a food desert. We really are.
That's another problem.
We really are.
Yeah.
So I would love, you know, for someone to put eyes on Palmetto and invest in a way that the residents, even starting a farmer's market.
Yeah. Or an Aldi or a Lidl or something.
Again, we've got to fix our water issue first.
Understood.
That's a real thing.
That's a thing, yeah.
That's a real thing.
Because every employee needs to wash their hands.
That is definitely that. And we want you to brush your teeth.
Yes, you got to wash your hands before you come out of the restroom and things and all of that. So it's important.
Yeah. So, and again, that is sometimes the elephant in the room that people don't know is there.
Yeah.
I don't mind sharing it because at some point somebody is going to hear that and they're going to have the exact solution that Palmetto
That's
needs.
What I'm thinking.
So I keep putting it out there. That's There's a thinking. Lot of very smart, innovative people that are thinking of ways to make our natural resources that aren't so resourceful.
Yeah.
If they're dwindling.
Yeah.
And this heat, like you said, it's global warming and all of these things. It is making a difference. Yeah. And if we are not careful, because we need water for food too.
Yes.
We need water.
Yeah.
So we got to start having. So again, I'm just putting these conversations out there so that again, the right person hears them and finds the solution, because we are solution oriented. We're not focusing on the problems. We are heading straight ahead to all the solutions and the opportunities. You got to be in the room in order to know if somebody's there that can help you. So,
yeah.
You know, Palmetto has not been in a lot of rooms, but we're in the room.
You're getting there. How is City Hall been? I mean, you've been mayor now. What? This is the first quarter?
We are 2 months in.
2 months in.
Yeah.
Are you starting to make changes within City Hall or seeing some changes? What is your goal for that?
So, City Hall, again, same mayor, long time, particular
Democrat,
yeah, particular type of personality.
Yes.
And a lot of what I think a lot of the citizens view to be unhappy employees. And I am this Teresa all the time. I am always happy. I just am.
Yeah.
I've been on the other side. This side is a lot better.
Yeah.
So I choose to stay here.
But
people, so when I had never been in the mayor's office until I became the mayor.
Okay.
In the 4 years I was council, I was never invited into the mayor's office and never went in. So January 1st was my swearing in. And that was the very first day I went into the mayor's office. I started work the very next day, January 2nd, and got really sick, really, really sick. Well, come to find there's mold all throughout the administrative offices, my office and the city administrator's office.
Good grief.
Just mold like you wouldn't believe. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And so we couldn't work in there.
Yeah.
So we ended up having to move our council meetings out of our council chambers to the community center, which has been a great thing because we now have enough room for anybody who wants to attend. Lots and lots of people can come now versus a little bit. And we moved our city administrator, who I brought in the first city administrator in many years. City hadn't had one. Long story. Long, crazy story. But brought in a city administrator. So he moved into the council chambers.
Uh-huh.
And I moved into the conference room, which has a glass wall that is just off the lobby.
Nice.
So, again, just very ordained that I now am visible.
Yeah, that's that transparency part you talked about.
So
yeah.
When people come into City Hall to pay their bill, they see me sitting.
The mayor's in the office.
The mayor's in the office. And she.
Yeah.
She.
Yeah.
Is accessible. She talks to everybody yeah. that comes in. If they want to talk, I talk. They stop in. I'm sorry, Mayor. I don't mean to disturb you. No, let's do this. You know, I'm here. So, you know, I go to the elementary school. I go to the middle school. I've been yeah. to the high school. You know, just I'm here.
Yeah.
What are we doing? I believe in partnerships. I tell people there is so much more to have, do, and be in collaboration over competition. So how do we come together and what are we doing? We got babies to raise and
sure
I'm a doula. So, you know, I'm all in the mix.
Ooh.
So I'm loving all of
this. I didn't have that down. I had coach, keynote speaker, MC, radio personality podcast host. I didn't know nothing about the doula.
I am a certified holistic birth and postpartum doula. Yeah.
You do it all.
Yes. Told you I do what I love.
You do what you love. What does it feel like, Mayor, to be the first?
I think there's a part of me that I was 28 before I learned to love myself. I'm just going to say that. So I think those years before 28 are still trying to grapple with it.
I got you.
So there have been times that I have almost downplayed it. Because it's still just little old Teresa from Adamsville.
But you ain't little old, though.
You know what I mean?
I understand.
It's still just little old Teresa from Adamsville. And you know, I could go into some really heart-wrenching stories about my childhood, but there's a part of me, again, that imposter syndrome.
Yes.
That'll kick in and say, but you know this happened.
Right.
Remember when that happened?
Yeah.
Remember when you did this?
Yeah. Thanks so much for checking out the podcast today. Be sure to like it, leave your comments, and share it with a friend. If you have a product or service you'd like to have promoted during the show, please contact us at info@realchicksrock.com and we'll send you the details. We're reaching the masses and we would love for you to join us on the ride. Until next time, take care and continue to rock on.